As we've already stated, do have plans to address the debt. I mean, the debt owed to municipalities and also other service providers. Now, Chairperson, it has been reported that DPWI owes Eskom 3 billion rand in municipal debt. However, this is not the case. The current system sees DPWI pay all municipal accounts and in some cases pays Eskom accounts on behalf of all national government departments too. Other government departments then have to reimburse DPWI for these payments. I can report, Chairperson, that the national government departments owe DPWI just over 3.4 billion rand in relation to municipal service as at the 31st of December 2019. Now, in August 2019, as part of the 6th administration, we started a campaign to settle all outstanding national government debt owed to municipalities at Eskom. That was August 2019. The campaign led by the CFO was a proactive measure to resolve all outstanding issues and ensure that there was no repeat of unpaid municipal accounts. Chairperson, we have also introduced consequence management, which has led to almost 10 officials being disciplined for not paying municipal accounts within 30 days. Now, as of 30 June 2019, municipalities reported in terms of Section 71 of the Municipal Finance Management Act that the overall government debt owed by DPW was just over 3 billion. At that stage, June 2019, 135 municipalities out of 257 municipalities reported their debt owed to DPWI, and the remaining 122 municipalities did not report as per the statutory requirements. This is very serious, Chairperson, because they are not reporting in terms of Section 71 of the MMFA. The DPWI, however, in the process of verifying and reconciling the debt of all 257 municipalities. So, the government debt campaign started by DPWI on the 1st of August 2019. We focus on verification and the reconciliation of outstanding debt. We also, in July 2019, started a campaign to settle all 2,084 payments of service providers that were over 30 days. And in just 1 month, we've been able to inject more than 1 billion rand into the economy of our country, because the impact of not paying within 30 days for service providers, especially SMEs, is very critical. Now, the campaign that we started, Chairperson, is monitored on a weekly basis. On a weekly basis, the CFO will have a video conference with all our regional offices, and they all have to report on progress made. Then we also have a monthly meeting with National Treasury, where we share further information. Now during this campaign, Chairperson, this is just the introduction, Chairperson. Let me get to the slide. Okay. Now, during this campaign by DPW, it was found that the initial reported 3 billion rand was proven to be unreliable and incorrect as displayed in Section 71 MMFA information. this is a serious offence if municipalities report inflated and wrong information in their Section 71 report. I'll just give you three examples that came out of the process, Chairperson. And during our engagement with the municipality and the verification process, a municipality in Mpumalanga, Bushbuckridge municipality, disclosed in the Section 71 report a debt of 925.5 million. However, after verification and reconciliation, we had agreed with the municipality that the outstanding amount is 6.9 million. In Gauteng, Umfaleni local municipality disclosed a debt of 185.9 million in the Section 71 report. They were unable to provide supporting documents to the value of this amount, and after engaging with them, we found that the amount could be far less, and we also reported this to the Gauteng government debt forum. Another municipality in Limpopo reported in the Section 71 report 362.2 million. The municipality is now confirmed with DPWI after reconciliation that it's only 1.3 million. And that is why I'm saying, Chairperson, that the information contained in the Section 71 report, unverified information, and these are just some of the examples that we came across. In Limpopo, we must just put that into the report.
Can you just put it into the report? You can speak there for a second. You can just give the name, sorry.
Yeah, it's Makutama.
In October 2019, we sent letters to all 257 municipalities informing them about this project, and we solicited their cooperation and help. So we're having ongoing working sessions are being held with all of the municipalities, and we go account by account. Reconciliation, verification, we look at the property ownership of the building. We then secure a sign of agreement between the parties, and then we also agree on the settling on timelines for delivery of invoices based on sign of payment. So that is the engagement. Now, to date, as the 4th of February, Chairperson, we have concluded 63% of the reported. We verified 63% of the reported 3 billion rand, and that is being resolved. And the actual amount is 1.97 billion for the 63%. After verification and engagement with the relevant municipalities, there was a difference of more than 1.7 billion from the amount that they have stated in their Section 71 report. Now this means that once all accounts of these municipalities were verified, the actual amount owed was 186 million as opposed to the 1.9 billion that they reported in their Section 71 report. Now this is a significant difference, Chairperson. In the actual amount owed to municipalities than what was initially reported. So as part of DPWI government debt campaign, we still have to engage, Chairperson, another 142 municipalities, and the amount there is about 388 million. As we started in June 2019, we hope to finish all of this, hopefully before the end of the new financial year, or just soon thereafter. So, I just want to ensure the committee that the DPWI, we are committed, chairperson, to settle all the debts once we verify them, once we've been able to reconcile them, and that all debts must be paid within 30 days. But despite the debt owned by government departments to DPWI, which is the 3.4 billion I'm telling you about, we continue to pay. And the account that we are paying from at the moment, which the Auditor General has also raised some issues with, that bank account is in a big, massive overdraft. So we want to make sure that we stop using that overdraft account to settle all of the municipal accounts. And because of all of these problems that we are experiencing, Jefferson, we have taken the decision that with effect 1st April 2020, that all government departments and all municipalities must pay their debt directly to them and to all municipal services. And we have notified all government departments, national and local governments, that this is going to come in effect on the 1st of April 2020. The CFO will explain the provision that was used, because there was a decision in 2006, and we have now used that decision to move this responsibility from DPWI to all the other government departments, so that they take responsibility for their own account. And then, Chairperson, on the 1st of December 2019, we had a meeting with ESCOM to address all the issues of common interest. In that meeting, ESCOM didn't raise any long outstanding debt, and nor was there, and then we met with them again on the 21st of January this year, 2020. And in fact, ESCOM has commended DPWI on its Simon payment and confirmed the positive working relationship between DPWI and ESCOM. And as I said, Chairperson, at DPWI we are committed to settle all of our accounts within 30 days. We are monitoring it on a weekly basis. Our consequence management system is working. More than 10 officials have already been charged with that. And so all unpaid ESCOM invoices that in our possession right now as of the 31st of January 2020, all current invoices for three of our offices, we have calculated an amount of 4.9 million rand that's in arrears. So we are working through this on a daily basis, Jefferson, to make sure that we settle our debts on time. So I will ask the CFO, Jefferson, with your permission, to just go through the to give you further detail, but this is where we are right now, and we certainly have found more than enough proof to show that the reported 3 billion rand owed to ESCOM is unreliable and incorrect. I thank you.
All right,
Minister,
nice to talk to you later. Was speaking to the presentation that I was I will request that the chair, the CFO, avoid the scenario of tautology and cover stated points which may have been omitted by the minister if she has captured the essence of the presentation that was taken as it is. So therefore you can fill in where you think that is the outcome that you ground, so that you can so we'll hand over to you to take us through a little bit.
Good morning, Captain. But I think it's also important maybe to just re-emphasize that when we started the campaign on paying service providers, we do not discriminate municipalities or ESCOM. We treat all people with the same agency. As a result of that, we are meeting regions on a regular basis and formal sessions happen every Friday. The trend now, every Friday we discuss challenges and all that. What maybe I must give context is because it appears as if we owe the score 3 million. I think municipalities that may have not paid ESCOM, because we pay municipalities that they then have a responsibility to pay ESCOM. However, there are certain accounts that we have directly with ESCOM, where ESCOM is the direct supplier to our user department. That's when we make such payments direct to ESCOM. And when we check with regions last week Friday, the only 3 regions that reported was about 4.9 million. That's what we go to ESCOM. And those are current requests, by the way, not like they are ideas. What also I need to give background to
the consistency from the presentation is 4.9 million.
Property rate is 624 million. So in total, we paid 3.3 million. current year as at 31st December. So as we engage municipality, actually I must mention also the report that is being reported, it says that 8th June 2019, inspection 71 report. So which then means that report actually is outdated. So when we engage municipalities, municipalities will then give us the details of what is currently being open. And those amounts don't to talk to the report that is being reported to Treasury, which the municipality is doing. So we've written letters to all municipalities if we are engaging them. The approach that we took was to start with the biggest amount. Hence then we are not yet confident with the process. And I must also mention municipalities are not at the same level in terms of PPA. So there are instances where we even try even to secure meetings with some of the municipalities. So as a department, we don't just sit and wait for improvement from municipalities. We even go out to the municipality. That's the process that we are undertaking. And as the minister has indicated, our program, we want to finish by 31st March, but it may overlap until June because there are lots of municipalities that we are doing. And after we sign off whatever amount, we then expect municipalities to bid us based on the signed reconciliation so that we can process payment. But that doesn't stop also us to pay all current invoices that we have to those ones we prioritize. The only invoices where we then hold on is where the opening balance where we don't have to. That's when the first municipalities to provide us payment so that we can process those payments. And I must mention, chapter 3, as a department, in terms of the budget, sometimes we even overspend because we don't have information for us to pay. So on our side, we want to pay all the resources that are on our desk. But the challenge is where we may not pay, it's where the amount of us is sacrificed. And we cannot pay right because we have a small committee to also check and budget. The only thing that I would also want to mention to the members, the decision that we've taken to really allow departments to pay the municipal account is a very painful decision for us because the feedback that we got from ESCOM when we met them, they were really complaining to say this decision would be traumatic for them because to deal with all departments is much difficult. Even municipalities, they are sharing the same views, but we also had a responsibility also to and we comply with PFA because we are not allowed to operate on a bank overdraft as a result of user departments that are not paying us. So that's the decision that is not ideal, but we have to take that decision. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, Mike, we can also provide you a list of the 122 municipalities that are not reporting as of Section 71. And maybe it would be a good idea to find out from National Treasury what they have done about the 122 municipalities that are not reporting in terms of Section 71 of the MMFA. Thank you.
Treasury, all right. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to hand over to you, a colleague. Way, come to the back and end it here where we started, right? So you will go in the sequence so I don't have to call it by name. And what we'll do with another hearing is the colleagues will take one to take in all questions or we want to do our standard operating procedure, one of the two times. Alright? One time. So when it's done, we'll do, we'll fill the question so that we tie down on each of the areas of concern so that nothing gets lost. So honorable list will first talk.
Bank of drama.
you're clearly trying to ensure that everyone meets their legal requirements in terms of Section 61, but the department itself seems to have ignored the law and gone into overdraft. And how much is that?
Management around the overdraft, and how much is that overdraft?
Yeah, so what we do is we ensure that this matter is done on the thought process and the train of questioning.
Jefferson, from my side, we have added to the performance agreement for all the senior management a key performance indicator that for this current financial year, we will do everything in our power to get an unqualified to a clean audit. So that is in the KPI agreement. And when the Auditor General raised in one of his management letters a concern about this overdraft, it is then that we said we cannot allow DPWI to get a qualified audit because of other departments. And therefore the accountability of paying for their own services to municipalities, we then agreed to shift it to the relevant department. We will be meeting with the Auditor General on, I think, early in February, so early February, where we are trying to find a solution to this. But the overdraft is a concern, and like Honorable Lisa is saying, it is also not complying with the PMS. Is
DG as the accountant field the majority of this question and get the delegation to the CFO from him, because ultimately he is responsible. So I would also like him to speak to what he's spoken about on the KPIs and to the spoken job, and in his discretion from him he can then delegate to his team. But DG,
the overdraft fluctuates because there is not a specific amount. The decision that the minister has already mentioned, yes, we've taken it, that the light department should really take over the responsibility. There's another decision that was also taken. If light department does not pay us, we're not going to pay. After effect will be that, if ESCOM takes a decision or a municipality to cut sales, we'll cut to that line department. So it's another decision that will realize will be taken by the Department of Public Works, because the overdraft is with us, because we're paying and it's one of these taking place. But the CFO is going to cover the area of, as of today, where are we?
As the DG has indicated, the bank overdraft fluctuates. When we started the NCE in 2007, we reported 851 million bank overdraft. As at 31st December 2019, it's 2.6 billion. As I indicated earlier on, the model that was created by National Treasury in terms of performing services on behalf of the department in itself created a bank overdraft, because we will pay service provider like we do construction, pay contractor, pay install services, and we then even policy and claim from the planning department, which on average actually may be why you can say that. So the amount on money basis that we pay all invoices on behalf of the amounts to 943. So which means that if you don't have advance amounts to say from like already we are creating a bank overdraft because of that money. So it makes things worse when department takes the 3 months to pay because that amount that was here amounts to 1.3. So the amount is
thank you. So, thank you for the amount. But the question that's not asked is, what are the consequences for their customers? Now it's even got worse. The CFO tells us that they've been running an illegal overdraft for the last 12 years. And no one is, there are no consequences. And it's actually, Mr. Chairman, irrelevant whether National Treasury has some arrangement with you. The law determines the articles of the meeting, what you do and what you don't do. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that there's an answer. It's clear there's no consequences here, and I would suggest that there should have been consequences years ago. Mr. Chairman, the next issue then is, and I think the DG has mentioned 10 officials, or over 10 officials, I'm surprised we don't know exactly how many. How many officials and who are they?
Anything that is outside compliance, and the point has been 12 years ago, that the decisions that have been taken are noble and correct, they are good, but bottom line, the overdraft should not have been sustained to begin to the point that you are standing to. That is an get that on the official, the one on the, yeah.
Chairperson, can we request them to provide the
point
tomorrow?
I think not only now we are coming here to speak about are these consequences around this matter, this chain, or is it consequences of other things?
Non-payment.
This matter. And that information should have been here. You see, I like the fact that you are having video calls with audio visits, so that innovation is good lifetime, so by the time we finish, that information can be solved. Before you close, and the tomorrow is not acceptable. Let's kick up the innovation of lifetime.
Jim, can I just quickly, one little point, just ask how is this overdraft secured? Which bank?
banks and others.
Okay. Honorable Hadebe, you are next.
Let's speak to the dynamics of the overdraft.
The bank overdraft is not with a commercial bank, so it doesn't necessarily attract interest. It's a PMG account with Reserve Bank. But not to say it's better, non-compliant bank, I think, as it has been indicated. And I must also indicate that the minister has written letters to all ministers last year around the issue of departments not being so those letters were issued. Some departments have responded, some they haven't responded, but here we can follow us.
I think we will want to know the ones who are not responding so they can come and respond here. Because this matter is very serious. All right, Honorable Hadebe, with an H, then we'll come to you, Honorable Swat.
I don't know what to make of the report from the department. Precisely because on the 4th of December 19th, when we had the inter-ministerial research team together with ESCOM and SPAC, out of that engagement, we then took a decision to call the number one offender, which is the Department of Public. Now today we are told that we are crucifying the wrong Jesus. You don't know what is reported. So meaning, ESCOM, the Inter-Ministerial Task Team, SALGA, they lied to us. I still have the report, which is 54 slides. On slide 14, National Public Work has the largest debt of 3 billion of the total of 3.4 billion. Provincial Public Works, Roads and Transport has the largest debt of 3.7 billion. Now, we had to sit and go through these reports, analyze and arrive at the conclusion that let's call the biggest offender. And you are saying to us, that's a fallacy. I don't take that chair like having wasted our time analyzing this report and someone in the department to come and account why they need to pay the bill. I'd really like to get a confirmation and what I'm interested in.
Well, you'll be posing a question. Do you want a response to that comment? Or you want to?
Can I get a comment?
Yeah, this
I'm also interested in getting an understanding from National Trust.
We'll come to National Trust.
Now, I'm raising this chair on the basis that, Honorable Minister, you would know better. You're a former mayor. Section 71 submitted on monthly basis. The municipal manager, 10 days after end of each month, submit the report to the mayor. The mayor takes it to council. 22 days later, it gets submitted to provincial treasurer. Provincial treasurer submits to national on monthly basis. We were sitting here. We were told that over the past 5 years, the debt has been escalating at an alarming rate, meaning the alarm bell has been ringing for the past 5 years. 5 years times 12, every month you get a report, meaning all those reports at that time were nothing but a lie. Because in those reports, we have a debt age analysis. It gives you the biggest offenders. So, why over the past 5 years were we getting something that is not food? And there is national treasure and provincial treasure and all these councils pick up that there is something wrong. Can I get that response? Because all my questions were based on what was presented to us on the 3rd of December.
You see, colleagues, our the difficulty that each confronted that reality that what ESCOM that is that it was that then everything flows from that of course confusion and difficult understanding. And that is why seated here my challenge is what ESCOM, SALGA, National Treasury, none of them made mention of the fact that in listing DPWI as a serial offender or the offender in chief, that there was engagement going on. As the presentation has said, that they've been engaged. So whilst we are concerned about that, we need to adopt a humble approach so that here onwards we don't accept anything, including but not limited to what they did and by itself said the gospel truth. Until such time that we have gotten all the parties here so that we can interact with each stakeholder, because the risk we will run is that you will call ESCOM without DPWI and will present another narrative. And then we are alarmed as well and say, but we just had DPWI here and then they lied. So, and this at the heart of it is the total collapse of the IMTT, which was supposed to have sorted this mess out and they did not do so. Because if the IMTT had its finger on the pulse, it should have been able to get first things first done, clear the wood so that the playing field and the accountability was done. So I say this in support of what you said. We are in stormy water so far as ESCOM debt management is concerned, because the issues of reliability are and I reiterate we have been failed by the IMTT. Ultimately, that is where it begins, because in bringing the parties together, it should have been able to intervene. So I think we do note the fact that there are discrepancies, and whilst we note what the Minister and the team has said to the department, we will not take it as gospel truth until such time that all the parties are here to explain the process that is. Because we now have two conflicting narratives, and we must not share to arrive at a conclusion. All right, Minister, I was going to make a comment on that, and then Honorable Hardy, we can continue.
Honorable Chairperson, I certainly welcome such a meeting of all the stakeholders in one room, so that we are not messengers, but we are accounting to Parliament, as we all must do. So I would certainly welcome this. What we have tried to demonstrate today, Chairperson, is that the wrong information or the wrong inflated figures has been put into the Section 71 report. And that's where we pick it up. But we now also have confirmation that those figures were wrong, because we have signed acknowledgement agreements with the municipalities where there were distinct discrepancies, where they agreed with us after reconciliation that in fact the amount is much lower. So I will certainly welcome that, and we will give our full cooperation to SCOPA. Whatever other information you need, Chairperson, we will also give you an update to build up to that meeting where you will call all parties together of our weekly interactions, and you can bring you also the records of all the meetings that we had with National Treasury, so that you know, at least the members, the honourable members, can make decisions based on verified information.
Conclude.
So if I would take the narrative of the current report that the most controlled, the question that one would pose, that the instance if you only acted after the section 71 report as of June 2019, it is only then that you started to institute this government project compile exercise there, which you have confirmed 1.7 billion. Now the question that one would want to get an understanding that you are what to be billed monthly, why didn't you embark on that exercise on a month-to-month basis to reconcile and verify the bill that was foreign to you? Why did you escalate 1.7 billion for you to start taxing? Were you not receiving service then? Why did the debt have to escalate to such an exorbitant amount of money for you to start taxing? Because, Chair, this brings to question the credibility and the accuracy of the credit and control of this municipality. I battle to understand how will they arrive at the conclusion or the definition of 3 billion. And you could have accepted long time ago had you dealt with these issues on a month-to-month basis. Moving forward, I is also going to take the very same posture of waiting for the debt to escalate to 3 billion before you start acting, or the proposal of devolving this to the user department. Is it going to be a sustainable posture, or are we going to be seized with another challenge of having a debt? Have you thought through that decision, and do you think it's the right way to go? Will it yield positive results?
All right. One question. One, this deal is the first part. Why did the debt escalate? And then the due diligence of the decision to transfer back to bank function department as responsible.
Thanks very much, Chair and Honourable Member. Yes, I think cost benefit analysis, and also based on what already Honourable Members have already said, the legal requirements to comply with the law, it is the best decision, but we don't guarantee that it will go down very well, because they, now each department is going to ensure that they interact with the department directly and respond. But each department has got an accounting officer, and we should ensure that we limit the risk. We are trying to limit the risk. With respect to the question related to why the bill escalated, I think there has been engagement for some time now. The CFO and my colleague may add as to what we were trying to do to ensure that we get a verified bill from municipality, so that what we pay should be able to be accounted for. My colleague, the CFO, maybe you should cover that one about the engagement that we used to have with them.
Chairperson and Honourable Member, I think as I indicated in the slide number 12, it's not to say we started the process after the section 71 report. We've been paying municipalities on monthly. The only thing that we've done was to intensify the notes. Not to say we're not paying municipalities. We're paying. The amount that's reflected there is from 1st of April to the 1st of December, which will be paid for money. So it's not to say we want to do that anymore. decided to increase the value of the property.
Okay. Another one?
But the report says if I were to take the report as a reflection of what happened on the ground, your verification of 1.7 from Google. Was that not a log of the event that you verified? Was the current debt with those municipalities, which is I think it's 135 words of the section 71 report, that amount was only for current debt or the log debt?
I hope you are referring to slide number 8. I think if you look at slide number 8, the total amount according to what was reported in terms of section 21 report is 1.9 billion. And as we were going through the process with municipalities, we agreed that the amount that the department is owing is 186 million. As I indicated, I don't have control over section 21 report because the municipality is reporting directly to the trader. So I cannot really focus more on that. But we were paying all invoices, current invoices. In the statement, surely maybe there would be an opening, but I'm looking completely at what the statement was going down and on, which in some instances it didn't happen before. So the issue of 186 million years, this would be the long outstanding amount, because the parties then will start to give us a breakdown for the amount that they keep up. That's the process that we under. So all current invoices were paid as
what you want.
I think the legal question becomes, have you used the 12 years of contract? Have you paid unverified accounts? So that you can determine what recovery they are due to. Because unless, of course, in the whole 12 years we've been verified, but I doubt that that will happen. So, as we state here now, it's very important that you have paid invoices of inaccurate and unverified accounts. And we would want to know how much is that in. Because to verify current accounts and not verify what will come from, because then that's serious losses to you. So, has that process begun? Is it in the pipeline? Because that will speak to consequence management. Because obviously something triggered this process of verification. So what I'm saying is, you're speaking about 1st of April 2019. What about the prior? Have you audited that? Have you verified those accounts? Because but the differences are ginormous. Just on this, on the 1.7 million, that's different. So which you could have paid, have you not verified? So when, if yeah, have you paid accounts that you have not verified? I think.
I think just to add, because if you're claiming that you've been paying accounts on and off, the question would then be your verification of 186 million, where is it coming from if you've been paying on and off? Had you not verified, you would have paid 1.9 billion. And you are saying to us, you have been paying. Yet, after your verification, there's 186 million. That is a long term. So where is it coming from if you've been paid?
Right.
It will nullify my question that you all decided to ask me over.
Just
Chairperson, I think the process in this attachment is very clear that we need to specify that the service was rendered. That's the whole goal. So we can give you the history for the past years. What it may not have happened is the manner in which we are doing now, where maybe the problem where we engage each other.
So that's not like a question. Have you been verified prior to the process?
Yes.
Yeah. Or you've just been paying it on the receiver?
As I'm saying, we verify each and every thing before we make a
process. When did the process of notification start? That's what I mean. We're dealing here with an overdraft of 12 years.
When did you start to verify?
Let me just make an example. Did you verify in 2015?
Since we started working, we verified before we paid.
So
unless in the context of the debt chapter, we may not have done a reconciliation for the opening balances at all. But for each and every payment that we process, we verify the actual value of that thing.
So in other words, you are saying to us that in 2016, you have picked up this credit.
I want to read what the report says on slide 14. Government debt project commenced for the 1st of August 2019 and the anticipated end date is the 30th of June 2020. The scope of the project focuses on the verification and the reconciliation of the outstanding debt.
That's
not
because they've been verified. So that we can pick up on the differences, so that we can trace how long by it. Because as I was saying, this project was triggered by something. And that something is that, and now this was exorbitant. So, if we start now, one will be interested to know what kind of process was used prior.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I thought I heard the Minister saying that we'll get an explanation in terms of from the 1st of April, if all departments and municipalities are paying their own debt, what administration has been put in place in terms of handing over the accounts to the municipalities and the departments. And also explaining to us that what then binds those departments and municipalities to pay what they owe you to service that overdraft. Because if from the 1st of April they are paying their own debt directly to ESCOM, are you then saying that they don't owe you afterwards? How do they then repay what they still owe you as a department? Before you even hand them over to ESCOM. And if they have failed up to so far to even respond to your letters, Minister, where you are cautioning them that they must pay, if they can't respond to a letter, how are you binding them that they are on their own with ESCOM? What has the process been between you, ESCOM, and themselves to say that now we are spatalela? How are you handing over those accounts? Because where it stands, you are owing ESCOM now. So when you are handing over the account, what is the process? What is the legality in it? What is going to happen? I hear you guys are saying
light was switched off, maybe, or what and what and what. We don't want a talk shop. We want reality. Because 1st of April is in a few weeks. So you as a department, what is it that is binding those municipalities and departments that assures us that you are handing over accounts? And at the same time, what is binding them to still service their debt with you, which you are rightfully saying is what has made your overdraft to be always there, because you were paying and they were not paying. So how do you solve that in between? And then also I want to understand Mpule.
The transfer management of the paying process, they will come to the Mpule issue, right? Did you?
We have written also to the directors to make them aware of this, that they want to take them. But the CFO will explain the nitty-gritty to the conversation of moving the accounts to each department.
The process, as the DG has indicated, we wrote letters to on department, actually, the minister signed those letters as well. The process, as we speak now, we engage departments, all departments we are engaging, especially the departments we met with staff, met with defense, we are, my team also continue to meet with all other departments. So, the issue of the debt that the assurance whether they will pay as come or not, I think that's beyond our control. Each accounting officer must make sure that they settle all the outstanding invoices that ESCOM may issue to them, either in those parties or in business accounts. On the issue of the amount that they owe us, in our letter we stated that we won't give permission to any user department that may not have signed or engaged us in terms of the payment how to settle our outstanding debt. That's the process that is in the process. I must say, the process.
What permission won't you?
Remember, the properties are under our ownership, so they require permission for it.
The event that they don't acknowledge that you continue paying.
No.
Okay. Long as that's on the record firm, then would you? So then there's no guesstimate that it could be the 1st of April or roundabout. It's the 1st of April. All right, you can continue to stay for.
I think I've covered the main question to say what is the process that we are taking. We've written to all departments, we are engaging the departments. Some departments actually, they are not commenting, since we are making follow-ups. But I must say, Chairperson, if departments are not ready, they will be cut.
That's fine, you can pull up the list in real time of who's responded and who's not. I'm sure you have it there. Not given them more than that. Yeah, so let's get that list along with the 10 names that we have not lost sight of the 10 names. Minister?
Yes, Chairperson, you did ask what triggered the process of reconciliation. Really, it started with the 6th administration, the 7 key priorities as pronounced by the president. And also one of the SONA speeches whereby the president made an appeal to all government departments to make sure that they pay invoices within 30 days. But also, as a new minister, I looked at Chapter 7 of the Public Finance Management Act, Section 63, where it speaks about the financial responsibility of the executive authority. section 1A and B. So all of that, and also the transition between the 5th and the 6th administration. So all of these things triggered that we set ourselves a goal to get an unqualified audit to a clean audit. We changed the KPIs, and it's really just to bring us back to clean and transparent government, to root out corruption, to root out the fraud of inflated invoices. And yes, if you ask us to go back for the past 12 years, we'll certainly go and get all of those annual reports to you, all of the Auditor General findings, and we're prepared to work with you to find a better solution. We're open for advice from SCOCO, what you think we can even improve on, and we will do so. Thank you. I just want to understand, Chair, when they say that at Mfuleni, when they were reconciling, there were no supporting documents, that what does the department then do in such an instance? Because if you are reconciling and they were saying this amount, 185.9 million vis-a-vis, and not having supporting documents, how do you then reconcile that? Because the minister also mentioned that most of the municipalities are not adhering to Section 71, which they should on a monthly basis, of course. And if they are not, and then you find that there are no supporting documents, what do you do? Because these are rents and cents implications at the end of the day. And it also has an impact on the department. But I just want to know from the department, what you then do, how do you resolve such the municipality?
Chairperson, I think it needs to be also noted that what we do, we go all our way. Normally, it's the person that is being voted must go all out to recover. But in this case, it's us who to recover. And when we arrive there, we say, okay, give us the document that we hope. In an event where they are unable to give us, unfortunately, there is nothing that we can do, because we also have responsibility to pay based on the amount that can be delivered. So it's a difficult situation, which is unfortunate, but from our side, we wait for the municipality to say by the time they are able with the information that we can pay on.
You know, Chair, CFO is like udlala mabhacelana nathi. Everything that is answering here, CFO, you know, when you are answering, it's like you are not wanting to be honest with us or tell us what you want to know. You are just saying here, I didn't see everything I told you because you put this in the report. Say so much money, and then you say to us there were no supporting documents, and then when you answer us you speak English, and you say to us that it's unfortunate, we follow the people. I go, CFO, you are the custodian of money of this department, and even when Honorable Hadebe was speaking to you, you cannot play hide and seek with us. When you are sitting here, you must talk to us. Because at the end of the day, yeah, we are going to ask the chairperson to request you for things, and then you'll come back here and say you did not find them. Because my question is, why would you put this in the report? You are telling us what? When you say Mfuleni, for example, you are making what example? When you tell us so much money, and then you tell us there are no documents, and then you want to be unfortunate. There's no unfortunate here, CFO. You can't be unfortunate with us. So I am please requesting that when you are responding to us, don't play hide and seek with us. And when you are sitting in front of us, it's not for you to get 100 out of 100 marks yet. It's for us to understand what are the problems and issues that have led to a report that was brought here in December. And I'm waiting, Chairperson, that you call all the parties under one house, because CFO, if I may ask a question through the Chairperson, how many years have you been at DPWI? Because nothing changed. We are in Fumela, you're in your corner. It means when you are the ones that have answers, because when they asked you, Kuti, can you give verifications of 2012, you said yes. But the minister says she launched this as priorities of the sixth parliament, being guided by the seven priorities of the president, being guided by the president's former Sona speech. Manjo, who's fooling you, who yet? Because you, we are asking direct questions. Have you been verifying? You then tell us under hide and seek that you verify an invoice. Now, verifying an invoice and this type of verification are two different things. The process you are running now and verifying an invoice are two different things. So I am asking that we be respected and taken seriously, because at least we understand English. Thank you, Chief.
Shortfalls in the responses, and I think we get to that because I'm still not clarified myself about the verifications prior to the sixth parliament administration. I'm not clear about that. There are serious doubts and reservations, you know, that I'm trying to process. I think that is what is causing a level of anxiety. Where were these preventive measures prior? The minister says on her arrival, she had responsibility with the law. So now, because then for me what that says, the minister found something not right and then sought to correct it. So it goes back to square one. What verification process was taking place was my worry. Did we pay our invoices that were inaccurate? That's all I'm interested in. The Treasurer is still going to explain in about that section. All right, CFO, how long have you been in the department?
Chairperson, I started to be a CFO from 1st of April 2019. I've been in the department since 2005, where I was working in the but I think Lajelo would have to comment with the prior program that was there in the department in terms of verification. And Chairperson, I do accept the comment from the member. I'm really apologizing. I was born to say when we engage municipality and they are not documented, I also have a responsibility to make sure that I pay according to the invoices that are before. Which if I don't do that, it will become an audit issue. Not only an audit issue, the PFM also expect me to do things right. So once again, I think that something that we cannot just take based on from any institution, including the
government.
Chair, my name is Mulatelo Mwasa. I'm the Chief Director responsible for intergovernmental relations in the department.
Okay.
Chair, perhaps I should deal with the prior to the 6th administration, what processes and verifications we have done in this department. Indeed, this is not the first one. We have undertaken the process before, and that is the process that gave effect to some of the comments or reports that are coming from the COCTA report on the 8th of December. So I think the Department of Public Works, maybe just to give a little background, is that in 2015, we were almost in the same space, in the sense that, like the CFO is indicating, we have got 11 regional offices, and payments have been made when we receive the invoices from municipalities. And then you get a report that comes from the Section 71 report. Juxtapose that report with what you have. There are huge differences. And that was not just for public works. It was for, you know, like the report is saying, it's 10 billion for the government department. And the process in 2015 was, let us look at this report, the Section 71 report, so that we can understand why are there so, you know, so the differences between what we have as our reports and what municipalities are reporting in terms of Section 71. Indeed, the report was done, and the process was undertaken. And the process was to look at the time it was 5.2 billion, it was in 2015. It was 5.2 billion, and if you look at one of the slides, you'll see that the debt has been escalating every year. And you kind of wonder why, if we are paying, the debt keeps going up. That was one of the things we needed to understand. So when we undertook the process, we came to understand and even came up with the root causes of the escalating debt. And besides that, we also allowed departments to actually verify the amount versus the reports that are coming from the municipality, so that you can say, this is what we are owing in terms of the, our own report versus the Section 71 report, and get the accounting officers at the time to also sign off those reports. What we are picking up now is exactly what we picked up even at the time. And that's why I would also agree with what the chair has proposed, that perhaps we all need to come together so that we can really unravel and unpack this. There were, if I can indicate, there were about
tell us about a similar process and almost similar situation. That's common call under the situation. Because now it's about 2015, I cited 2012 at some point in there now. Issue is heaven. Because that goes to recover. I think don't move away from that. Because the issue is where you overpaid, we are expecting recovery. That's the issue. So Manning Yabona, you are giving this question as some sort of trap. No. It's about ensuring Bukuthi the money is managed in a manner which is consistent with the law, because our expectation is that where you have overpaid and on verification you found your profit, we expect a recovery. So let's not now skirt around the issue, because that is what is inducing the anxiety. Let's get to that. Because we expect you to go and recover money. You've been settled with an overdraft for 12 years. One of the leaders stated this up front. That overdraft ends at 2.6 billion rand. Because if you have not done the process of verifying and recovery, then just say so. And then you set into emotion a process to do so. And that's not personal. Have we're not here to trap people. We want things to be done right. That's why I'm cutting the chief director short. Have that process been undertaken? Be able to.
Trap there where there's cheese and so on.
caucus meeting to say, gotcha. No, we're not a traffic cop. We don't hide in the bushes. We are visible and present. If you want to go for you, we'll just go for you. Come.
I do agree with you that we need to go back and do some investigation. I will certainly commit to do that. I just want to ask you, how far do you want us to go back? Because the best will be to get an outside service provider to come and help us with the past verification. But from the ministry, we can certainly commit to do that and then come and report back to SCOPA in the near future.
So we will apply our minds to that. Thank you, let the end. We can park it. The commitment is good. We can sample it if we have to. But I think at the same time, we understand. Because we are undertaking a huge risk here now when this function and responsibility is being transferred. Right, Honorable Somia?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Ariel Duncan. I had a couple of questions, but I don't want to go too closely from one or two questions. I see the problem is huge. It's huge. One overdraft issue, the whole problem is getting to some security in public that is that kind of detail in terms of their affecting that. So I'm not going to deal with that now. It's not my duty, it's not our duty. If I were you, even if you go back, you look into the location of your property and what you are thrown on in terms of the attack on your property around you, as an example. If you are in an area where there are communities where there are no services, those communities piggybacking on what is available, whether it's electricity or water, such that you might find yourselves having to be seen consumed such services. And that's your responsibility and the responsibility of the society. Probably you could account of such a kind of a loss in as far as the actual quantities. But the question you have asked here, do I agree with you in terms of your own attempts to want to solve an invoice issue? The matter remains that a service has been consumed, that consumed service must be paid for. The fact that the municipality fails to provide an invoice in a standard form, then it's another issue, which is indicative of the death of. So we have a serious problem. And the second area, which is my comment on, is that you have your instrument, the arm, which arms you how to be as a custodian of government property. How, from time to time, you have to deal with some of the number of things that are going to create sustenance. Property. One of those is that you receive services and people as a custodian. And now we are saying, what is the solution of 2006? Then there is a law which comes in 2007, which elects, in a simple term, that you remain responsible for everything that allows property of. And now you say one creates a reality, you see, of some form of operation, whether the case in terms of operation itself. But now you want to pass it over them.
No, this is what they are using this demonstration.
That's symptomatic of the problem.
Why, Minister, don't you fight for the fact that if government says you're responsible for property, whatever takes place in that property becomes your responsibility? Why they don't go worry for such? Then you cry foul of the fact that you pay on behalf of the department and not necessarily paying back in terms of what you can create some kind of account. But that still remains your responsibility. The property registered under your name, and if that property resides on your custodianship, it means you will remain responsible for anything that takes place in such a property. So the question of what is, so I agree with that. I would agree with whoever in terms of creating severity of accountability in as far as such is concerned, is going to pass over that problem without addressing the problem. Because if you don't provide for such, how are you going to pay for something which you don't provide for? You don't have the IE code. You see, you don't have the Mandi, Mbane, and all that stuff. Where it's supposed to be, that is the bigger problem. So passing the problem over, then that becomes something. So you're just running away from that problem, passing it over to someone else, something which wants to be your own responsibility. So I think, in essence, Chair, I want to say that I think the problem which the ministry wants to deal with is bigger than just that. Let us solve this thing by passing the problems over to the various another thing is going to come to you to each. Would say, how do you keep those properties? The upkeep of properties. So all those other things, you see. So invariably, you're going to be losing off in terms of your authority around those matters, because you're running away from what you're supposed to do and what government will provide for in terms of the upkeep of such. So you're responsibility is going to weigh off and force. So those are the measures that probably the department of the environment which relates to payment for any service that's possible.
On the process of that ball. When it comes to Giyama, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act. That must be read together with the Public Finance Management Act, because you're talking here about contractual obligation. Now, there's a contractual obligation between DPWI and the user department, because we are providing a service for them where they pay us a 5% administration fee. I've come to the conclusion that 5% administration fee cannot be at the expense of clean and transparent government. So we rather do away with this 5% that they are paying, and most of the time they're not even paying the 5% administration fee. But let's get back to accountability and responsibility each government department must be held accountable to. So the only thing missing in your point, Honourable Member, is that there is a contractual obligation. And what we've introduced in DPWI now, Chairperson, is consequence management and contract management. Because you find a lot of the contracts has just been signed and filed away. You will find in those contracts that the responsibility of public works is to look after facility management, repair and maintenance. That's normally in that contract. But what is also causing in terms of Kiama, it is just the ownership of what government owns. We don't know how many buildings we own. We don't know exactly how many pieces of land we own, because there is not a proper immovable asset register. The good news here is that we have now engaged with National Treasury. National Treasury has got a master plan or a master, National Treasury put out this tender, but any department can piggyback on that same tender. So we are now developing the terms of a reference so that we get permission from National Treasury to use this master tender, so that we can, for once and for all, after 26 years of democracy, get a proper, immovable asset register. So it's all work in progress. So giving the responsibility of every government department, that's what they're also getting paid for. They must take responsibility for their services both to municipalities. It can't just be us. Because now we are sitting in public work, we want an unqualified audit to a clean audit in this financial year. And it's not going to be at the expense of getting a 5% administration fee. The clean audit and the unqualified audit is more weight than getting a 5% fee from the department that they don't even pay in any cash.
Colleagues, Minister, you're speaking about the asset register. If my memory serves me well, the Parliament were told that's what was said. I was present in that meeting, that's what was reported. And I can go back to our notes, but I can, because the impression we were left with and we inherited the legacy report is that the answer is done. Maybe clarify for Mr. Mauba.
Chairperson, the department must have been 5 or 6 years ago got a system called Archibald that must be implemented, that if you implement all the modules of Archibald, you will then get to a fully documented immovable asset register. We refined ourselves now. There are still 9 modules of the Archibald system that must still be implemented before we can get to a fully fledged immovable enterprise. But again, if Scopo wants, we can come and give you an update on that.
Okay, let's have the cartoon has behaved. Because I raised Tommy, can we please go back to the records of that meeting? I think on the records of the Swiss Parliament to tie down on this issue of the others so that we can clarify it, because that's the first time I'm hearing about the Baslaga Arch. But first I'm hearing about Archibald, so never explain. And as I'm saying, the Swiss Parliament, the report that was given to us was that the assertions, which was a huge celebration, which had never arrived in Kenya. Right?
Can the minister agree that the minister be recognized?
Yes, we have a huge problem.
Then you are covered. Our problem is trying to
know. I want to get an
understanding. Wait. Going in a sequence, if there are follow-ups, we can get them. Hamburger approach, we are not in a rush, there's no sitting to me. Right? Honorable Van Minen, we'll go back to you.
Great, thank you very much. What I want to know is, might actually be something for Treasury. The 122 municipalities who are not reporting since 1971, what is happening there and what is the process that is being used? And then in terms of 5th April, payments go directly to ESCOM. But what is the department doing regarding payments being made to municipalities that are then not paid across ESCOM? Is there an attempt to reclaim that money? Is there an attempt to follow up? And also, who are the sort of main offenders when it comes to accepting money from the department but not paying them?
Maybe after you respond to the question, then you can send over to the structures.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister. My name is Pradesh Ramjet from the National Treasury. Just to give clarity I'm a director in the unit in the division called IGR, Intergovernmental Relations. Just to give clarity on the process for the Section 71 report. The Section 71 report, like the Honorable Member said, 10 working days after the month, the municipality is requested to provide a report to National Treasury, National Provincial Treasury. So it's legislated, it's by law, Section 71 of the MFMA. Now, on a quarterly basis, National Treasury then consolidates the reports received from the municipalities into a quarterly report and submits it to puts it onto a website. It publicizes what the report has said. Now, before that report is publicized, municipalities, the accounting officer and the CFO sign off on the accuracy of that report. And that's one of the important milestones that we must achieve. We do not public, you don't provide any information on the website if it's not signed off by the accounting officer of the municipality. So once that municipality has signed off on the report, it becomes a public report and it's publicized and provided to national government as well as report on progress to that date. The report of the 3rd of December, when Deputy Minister Park Tao and ESCOM and SALDA and National Treasury was here, it's a report that showed the reflection as per June of 2019. All that we did was provide in a more readable and interpretable manner what the municipalities have provided. So the slide that you are referring to in that report, the Honourable Member referred to, where we said that 3 billion is owed by National Public Works, and I think it was 3.2 at that point, or on the Provincial Public Works, is what was consolidated as a report given to us by municipalities, and we then presented it to you. Now, a detail of the report is available. When I say detail, I mean that we can provide the breakdown of that amount per municipality, per service and property rates, as well as the age analysis of that amount. So that amount that you see there is broken down, and we can present it to you as quickly as after the meeting, because that information is available. So you can see that which municipality has claimed that National Public Works or Provincial Public Works is owing them an amount. I think there was also an incident where it was stated that Parliament is owing a certain municipality. The municipality at that point in time that indicated that Parliament is owing them is Kaliyabal. Now, how that municipality has reported that, I can't answer for that. But I'm just giving you an example.
So you're still thinking that. That's why, then who will follow? Right, let's get a follow-up.
Sorry, can I?
Okay.
I just got two points to make.
Okay, sure.
With regards to municipal accounts, municipalities have moved away from having tenant accounts to a consolidated account with the owner of the property. And I think this is where it's important. We, on numerous occasions, have advised municipalities, have advised them to negotiate with the department that's owing them the money. Because you'll find that the municipality will produce a consolidated bill, like you would receive a consolidated bill on your payment to the municipality for your services, on all the accounts. It'll be property rates and all the four services on one bill. Now, as the department has indicated, they sometimes are only responsible for the property rate section of that bill. The services is supposed to be transferred or sent to the user department. And I think that's where the breakdown comes. So I'm just giving clarity on what the process is.
Okay.
Lastly, when you talk about ESCOM accounts, and I think we need to provide the information as well, it's not necessarily the top 20 municipalities. I'm just using an example of the top 20 municipalities owning ESCOM. You'll find that there's a huge difference on those municipalities owing ESCOM as opposed to the department owing them for services and property rates. So what I'm saying is that if you were to look at all the municipalities that are owing ESCOM, and I'm looking at the top 20, there's very, very little correlation between what's owed to them by the department compared to what they owe in ESCOM.
We will have to find a day for your full day session on this, so then we'll do so. All right, but we'll come to you.
Thank you. That's very interesting, but my question is very specific. The 122 municipalities that have not reported in terms of Section 751, what is happening there, and what kind of enforcement mechanism is actually being used? Because what we're seeing here is a big disconnect between the municipality, the department, and ESCOM, and then also the issue where the department has actually remitted money to municipalities have in turn not
paid
that over, because we're seeing that as well.
My apologies, I omitted to answer that question. So let's get clarity. The clarity is that we're not saying that municipalities haven't reported as per Section 71. We're saying that they have reported, but they have not indicated that any department is owing them. What I'm saying is the municipality has provided a Section 71 report to National Treasury, Provincial Treasury as regulated. In that report, it is broken down into various variables. They have not indicated on that report that a particular department is owing them. I don't have the detail of that in front of me now, but we can look into that and provide feedback later. But that's how I'm interpreting it. So, if you look at the municipalities, you'll find 121, if the exercise has been done by the department, 122 municipalities did not indicate that any department is owing them money.
Chair, in the report on slide 5, it clearly says the remaining 122 municipalities did not report as the statute.
Treasurer. This is the public works trying to public works trying to rescue National Treasury. I don't know. We think intergovernmental rescue here. Okay. Did you?
Just clarify that not National Treasury is our report.
Yeah, but you got that from who gave you that? This was the purchase of those then? Section 71, but do not indicate that they have over. So that particular article is missing. The minister has handed over the list of 152 members will receive that the copies shortly. Right. Okay. Are you done? Okay.
My clarity was on the basis that this report is set for the monthly basis. Find that in all these months there is no indication of money owed to them, or is it only just for the year end 2019, or all the months?
This is a discussion about the National Treasury and Comptroller, because National Treasury says the Section 71 reports have been received. But those reports do not indicate amounts owed. And what DPWI is saying, they extracted, and the extraction indicates that. So they are using information which they derive from Treasury, and Treasury is saying the information is presented as is. They can't present what Treasury has not indicated. So I think we will need to, the broader meeting will clarify, because who COPTA and National Treasury, because then it goes to the issue of verification, so process. That's where it places our tutelage. So, cool. Okay, if you have UI, we'll get UWI, this is not the information that they call it from the National Treasury. So National Treasury, but other thing, let's look at that list that will come through. You may find that I'm a third offender that we called the last time appeared, that's right. Now, the first time, of the 14. Finally?
Yes, finally, I wanted to get the clarity when the department is going to involve the management of the accounting to the department. Now, who better is to contract your communication to such form to the user department or the national department?
Okay.
Because I still view this as outsourcing the problem. Couldn't solve the problem as the asset owner because of your user department are not willing to pay. You're now outsourcing that to the transport because of your failure to resolve the need. Can I get a clarity on the contract?
Thanks very much, Chair. Honorable member. We're not outsourcing. We are just placing the responsibility where it belongs. It belongs to the client. The arrangement, the dispensation that was created, it was conceptualized that it would be easy for this task to perform by CWI. On top of that, we derived a 5% management fee because we'll be managing on behalf of the client.
Imani, if you want to say something, talk to me, speak into the mic, otherwise I'll press. Okay, I think a way forward for this particular transition. Let's get the concept documented. I'm sure you developed how you want to do this. But ultimately, this is also a function that resides with the PC, the portfolio committee. They are better. Check what we want here, then get to pay. That's what we want. And so, if arrangement is as such, once it's in effect, we will get the ones who must pay to come in and figure out who to pay. So, but we will, let's look at how the transition transfer is going to be handled because we don't have anything now to speak to. All the CFO said they wrote to them, they are engaging some of them. Some have not responded, we are awaiting the list of who has not responded. So that when we receive this, we receive it as part of the broader package of issues that you will deal with and all that. But what I'm hearing, who treasury is sticking to is done. That's the information we have and that's the information we present. Public Works went out and verified local and now we continue to do that. So what I'm saying, like I said, at this point, there's no gospel truth. We will hear both sides of the party pattern, something along those lines. And then we figure it out. So I think let's not get too much on that. Right, Honorable
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm happy with that approach, but I think that the Auditor General should be included because if there are discrepancies, presumably they pick them up. And just a quick comment, because if Public Works achieve this change, then it does mean that future implications in the market, because other property owners will also say, well, don't come to me, go to my tenant. Let's not go down that route now, but I hear what Amy said. Just a clarity. Public Works, you're pointing out to us that the municipalities are overstating what you owe them, whether it's for clients or whatever it is. going to recover that money from the user deposit, presumably that now is much less as well. I mean, you're not going to recover what you say you don't owe to the municipalities. And so, where I'm headed here is there's a 2.6 billion rand overdraft. You're saying that what you actually owe to the municipalities is a fraction of what they say, which means what your user departments owe you is a fraction of what the municipalities say. Is there enough money to actually clear this overdraft? That's basically the question I'm asking.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think the CFO is going to come by the 2.6 billion, which fluctuates. It's not only the result of the payment of the small amounts. It's also caused by some lease agreement that needs to be paid, that are not paid by clients, but it's a consolidation of what we are owed by the client, but you know that DJ. Thanks, DJ. The department is processing invoices policy where we lease building from private sector. We pay on behalf of the department, and that is the recovery cost. And then department also, they have funding for infrastructure. So they would then request us to do construction on the recovery cost. We also recover that money from the investment. Then municipal services also, we pay on behalf of the department. So in truly speaking, then we have three main things that we are doing on behalf of the partners where they have funding. So the 2.6 billion is a combination of all those things that we pay on behalf of the partners.
That's right. Totally different aspects. Because we are supposed to be operating on the contract to begin with. And then, that being the case, you mentioned unloaded onto the overdraft. Your non-compliance continues to escalate. This, quite frankly, you must just know now that you are going to find yourself in collision course. Quite frankly, there is no justification. It's non-compliant, that's the bottom line. You should not. So I think what needs to happen here, so that we don't run the risk of losing sight of this matter, we're going to seek a follow-up meeting. That's right. So that we zoom into all these areas of so that whilst we're dealing with the ESCOM debt, so that you will impair that. I think at least now you've got your heads up on the overdraft that you're talking about. It is something we're not going to accept demand. Honorable so it is not going to okay, unload the problem, unusual. Usually people don't bring the problem there, they try and hide the problem. Let's share this problem.
Now, if you look at the budget that Parliament approves every year for every single department, included in that budget is the cost for paying municipal services and leases and all of that. The question then arises that if they are not paying that money to DPWI to service their debt with us, what's happening to that money? That is the question that must be asked too. Because Parliament approved those budgets every financial year.
You're unloading a problem which is at the top of our heads as well. So,
if Honorable Swazana, then I just want to make a list of proposals, colleagues, as a way forward to present them to you, Honorable Swazana.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to ask if there is no immovable asset register. We don't know how many buildings we own, how much land we own, and then there's Achiba. I don't know if it's a system, if it's a consultant, if it's a person that's involved.
The system,
the Achiba. Then I also heard the minister saying some sort of a tender and consultants to be involved. Now, it means that we are sitting with a very big problem, because somewhere there is somebody maybe even collecting rent from your property that you don't know. Because you don't know that how many properties you own. So it means there are some officials who know there are so many houses where, because you own a lot of houses everywhere and anyway around the different provinces. So it means we are sitting with a very, very huge problem. And if that is one of your main core functions, it's properties, and we don't even know how many of them are there, how much of that land is there. Maybe there's some spaza shop on that land. People are generating money and the department doesn't have money. Now, I just want to know, in terms of time frame, how long is it going to take us to actually know how much assets we have? What is the time frame of that register that it will ever get into place? In terms of years, because seemingly we have not had a register forever. There hasn't been one. Now, in another world, somebody would say that Public Works is like a PMU consultant, because when you look at the whole story, it's like there is no department. You guys are like a consultant to other departments. Now, the 5% fee, CFO, on an average percentage, when you come again back to us, can you at least give us an idea how much of that 5% do you actually collect in reality? Because if all these departments help become your client when they build a CHC, when they build a hospital, when education becomes your client and they hand over schools, it means somewhere there's a gap, because you build a school, they hand it over, but you don't collect. You need to put measures in place. You deliver a clinic to them, the premier golden cut ribbons, but you have not collected 5%. There's a problem. There is a problem. Because it must start from the process when you go on tender. Because you are the client that implements. So it means there's something wrong in the system with the project managers, with the quantity surveyors, what everybody that signs off, because the person who allows these people, contractors and everybody, to get paid by you are the project managers and the quantity surveyors on site. But my problem is, why would you let people open clinics and schools without collecting? You need to put measures in place on how do you collect. Because if you rush contractors and everybody else, that in 6 months' time, you put up a board, your emblem is there at DPWI. You say that Public Works is with quantity surveyor so-and-so and engineer so-and-so and everybody. You go and remove that board after the project, but you don't collect. How? Because you are the one who signed contracts with these people, so you need to cover that gap. So I am requesting that when you come back, you tell us how you are going to cover that gap. Because you hold the key to the whole process. So I just want to know how much of the 5% on percentage you have collected. And then also what you are going to put in place in measures. Because education and health and everybody else cannot do these things without you.
So you need to put it in your contract that you sign with them, that we are going to deliver your a school, but at such a stage of the project, we want so much payment. Otherwise, those schools are not opening. Those clinics are not opening. So you need to put those monitoring and evaluation processes in place. But Minister, with the efforts and land, I think that's the hugest problem we have. Looking at the type of departments that you run, because you hire PMUs, but in essence, you are the PMU yourself on the type of work that you do. So we need to have something else presented to us. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's get a response, and then we will help out the way forward.
Chairperson, I also just make my concluding remarks, if you will allow me.
Let's get the DG, the education, and we can talk about the other departments. This is nothing.
Chairperson, certainly at DPWI, we are not looking at passing the buck. Where the buck stops with us, we must be held accountable for it. But you know, my 7 months of experience in this department, I look at it that public works is almost like a glorified domestic worker. We must do all of this work for other departments, but they get the budget from Treasury. Parliament approved their budget. Now, that's why Honourable Sartre is correct. We also look like a project manager. That further escalates the extent of what we're struggling with, Chairperson, is that we also have got a number of entities that are reporting to us. From the Council of the Built Environment, just all of those entities. And last year, only one of the entities received a clean audit. We've got entities like DTI, IDT, that's also reporting to us. So you can see the scope of what. And we are looking for solutions, and we hope that COPA can assist us as far as you can. So the immovable asset register is not completed after 26 years. So why it is not completed even now is that a number of modules that we must implement as the department to complete the asset register has not been implemented. And that is why we went to seek the help of National Treasury, who now we hope will consider our request to have access to this master tender so that we can bring professional help on board. And hopefully, to answer your question, Honourable Member, I would like to come and report back to SCOPA in June of 2020 about the progress that we are making as far as getting a completed asset register that we can proudly say we now know more or less what we own. So that is my concluding remarks, Chairperson. We will certainly also start the investigation in terms of going back to see the overpayments, the reconciliation, the verification, whether that is being done. I'm not in a position to give you an answer there, but we will certainly make resources available to do that investigation. Thank you.
All right. Minister, thank you very much. Colleagues, our problems are compounded by the bill because of the discrepancy which has befallen us in terms of because after that meeting was declared, Parliament came out and said, we don't owe anybody anything. They said. And that was the first salvo punching holes into what was presented to us. Now, fundamentally, we do need to then go back to that so that we can restore the integrity of reporting. reports must not have traces. It's a simple cut and paste. And what I can only call paper dumping of reports without a process of verifying. So if you are saying you will look at your numbers, anybody has to look at their numbers, but that's all technical. The issue is ESCOM must be paid. That's the fundamental principle which must not escape us. ESCOM is in crisis, and the risks involved with an ESCOM that is not going to function effectively and efficiently are astronomical. The slow shedding that's going on amongst other countries. I mean, one moment it is light, one moment it is darkness. It's a big, big problem. And so we need to solve all of ESCOM's problems, including the debt. And we need to inculcate a culture of paying. Whether it's a citizen, or it's a government department, or an entity. If we're making a clarion call to citizens that they must pay, then they must pay. And if ESCOM can go and disconnect his Nyoganyoga Soweto, ESCOM must be bold enough to disconnect those that do not pay within the state's machinery as well. We cannot have a situation of double standards. Because we're going to end up boxed down in technical debates, Ubuti. The issue is that if you are paying from the word go, we're not going to have this debt problem. I always make the analogy that there was a day here in Parliament where on the 15th of a particular month, salaries didn't go off. It was a very somber day in the chamber. Everyone was just a kulungulwami kind of situation. Now, let us consider if we do not inculcate the culture, you know, the 30-day payment. How many somber business people are out there, particularly small businesses, who expect payment like we expect salary? So if we can find it painful, just on a technicality, imagine the ordinary man in the street, that small business. And so government departments and entities must lead by example by doing the right thing. They must pay. And there must be consequences for non-payment. Because at the end of the day, it's the absence of accountability for those that don't do what they are supposed to do which lands us in this way. We had SALGA here, and they were just adamant that things must be changed so that we can create a conducive environment for their thought process. That's all good and well if they are, but the issue is, our expectation is, under the current system, pay whilst you are working out your particular changes and your amendments and what. We can't stall payment on the basis that there's transition and there's change. That must not be allowed. So we are really, Minister, going to call you back because we have the Interministerial Committee on Service Delivery now, which we were chaired by the Deputy President, which we were advised has taken over the functions of the IMTT supposed to solve this complex. That's what we are told. So with that being the case, we're going to write to the chairperson of that IMTT of Service Delivery so that its full complement and all the affected parties can come in and we'll resolve this thing once and for all, including the Auditor General on the issues of verification, because it speaks to the integrity of auditing as well, because we're also interested in the
on the processes you are using for this auditing and their legalities and so on, so that you know you are doing the right thing when you are verifying. It's not a verification which has got Big Brother from Pretoria coming to Smolanyana and municipality and coast of KwaZulu-Natal and the state. You know, so we must also do all those things to make sure that you are verifying fairly, correctly, and to the satisfaction of all parties affected. We need to clear the rules for all of those things so that then there's no excuse for pain. But it's not acceptable that you have a situation of not pain. I reiterate, the IMTT in its previous form was a dismal failure, and amongst other things, landed us because they did not solve the problems. Instead, the debt escalated. Now that debt has been called into question as to whether it's credible debt or not. We have the CEO of Telkom telling us it's trending 6.2 billion rand, if I'm not mistaken. We now need to know whether that figure is accurate or not. If the processes of verification which are finding loop, there are other things. Because it could very well be the absence of documents does not necessarily mean that it's not that. So there's too many variables involved here. And if we get bogged down in technicalities to the extent that it stalls the process of payment, then we ourselves are derelict in our duties. So I think that myself, Minister, in team, you will be advised as to when your hearing is on your audit outcomes, so that hearing can take place. The CFO owes us a list of 10 people. So, 10, I use 10 conservatives. So, CFO, we were in agreement that by when we leave. So, can I hand over to you to keep us?
Chairperson, I haven't received the only list that I've received for now is the one where departments have not responded to the letter.
Right, I am not surprised. When it comes to individuals, there's a high level of protection. And so far, a trend. We had correctional services here to deal with their regular expenditure and their long list of clients. And when it came to the DDG's equivalent, those names were missing from the list. We sent them packing, and they came back the following week, they were brought the weekend, and they said, no, we've now found all the names. So they were waving off the mention one. So that is part of the long list of trends that are there. We want those names. And we want to know where the process is, and want to know when it's going to be completed. And I would like that list by close of business today, 4 o'clock, so that tomorrow, when the members arrive for a meeting with PRASA, I can hand it over to them. We are not going to shy away from naming and sharing. This fisha business, and ingani business, must come to an end. So by close of business today, we communicate with Mr. Kalio, Mrs. Kabinde, and we would like that by the end of the day. Two quick announcements, colleagues. Oh, no, let me say this first. So Minister, we have noted what you have said insofar as the discrepancy, and at this point in time, we do not accept it as the alpha and omega, just like we will not accept now what was presented to us in December, until we have an opportunity to bring the two together, and then we make a determination in terms of the process that we follow. But we note it, and we note the seriousness which comes with it, and because it speaks to shortcomings in the debt management of ESCOM as part of the bigger process. Colleagues, tomorrow, Mr. Toby, are we 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock? 9 o'clock, we are meeting with PRASA and the administrator and the minister to deal with those issues, and then we will be able to come to a conclusion on that. And SAA,
and ESCOM remain on our radar, we will tie down on those matters tomorrow. So until we meet tomorrow, same time, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.